more to you people. It is a Starship. Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis. Suffer another day of broadcast insolence. Anna worked very hard yesterday while I was off loafing. Actually, I was doing something really important. I'll tell you about it in just a second. So she is not here today, and it's just me and the kids and Aunt Judy. And you know what happens when mom leaves and leaves the dad like in charge? Oh my God!
Let me open the vodka. Hold
yeah,
on.
You know what?
Pass it over
right,
here.
I need to rely on Aunt Judy in a situation like this. So I need her as happy as possible.
Just give her the vodka.
Yeah, so I'm going to give her. She's going to open the vodka. We're going past the red wine. We're going straight to the vodka.
Like I haven't already started.
Right. Did you? And then this is where Judy actually goes into the freezer and gets the lemonade or orange juice frozen concentrate.
Oh.
And you just take a spoon out of that and you throw that into a glass and you pour the vodka over it and you just mix the whole thing.
Delicious. Go,
get out of my way.
That's a pro tip. I should try that.
I never thought of that.
Neither did I.
Normally you think about blending that in a blender.
No. No.
See, you're teaching the kids already.
Yeah. It's you have to think like a, well, you got to, on this program, you kind of have to think a little bit like a drunk and a degenerate.
And the fastest way to get there.
Yeah. And we got, yeah, exactly. Those two are like hand in hand. Speaking of degenerates, Lou Kanellis is going to be joining us a little bit later on in the program. We're going to be talking about the Bears game and how we should be handling this as a piece of potential investment. You hear me?
I hear you.
All right.
Khalil Mack's back, by the way.
Right. And there are some players who are out, right?
For Detroit. Yeah. Key players.
Yeah.
Starting offensive lineman, starting quarterback.
And that's here at home.
So
that's kind of a thing. So anyway, I just want people to write those three clues down. And then next hour, we're going to be able to figure that out with Sweet Lou. And also next hour, we're going to give away our second to last pair of passes and tickets to next Wednesday night's event at the Chicago Blackhawks. We're going to be there. We're going to be at Queenie's, the unbelievably great supper club that they have just built at the United Center.
Highly recommend the milkshake, alcoholic milkshake.
That was my name in college. There was an absolute. This is a must-see place. You can go to Queenie's when there's events going on at the United Center, and you don't have to have a ticket for the event. You just go in, and you can hear the roar of the crowd, and you can kind of watch during sporting events. You can watch through these windows. It looks looks like you're looking down. It's a visual trick, but it looks like you're looking down onto the ice or to the floor. It's really cool. Yeah, really, really cool.
They incorporated TVs like in a perfect way where it doesn't feel like a sports bar, but you're not going to miss anything when you're eating there.
Right. Oh, there are TVs. It feels a little bit more like it's there were restaurants here in the 60s and 70s that were like these lush kind of supper clubs. Eli's, the original Eli's, from whence came the cheesecake, is what I'm thinking of when I see this place, with these, you know, round, big plush booths and stuff like that. It's great.
Awesome spot.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have prime rib. I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah. So if you want to go back to that kind of feeling of, you know, for Chicagoans who remember maybe you were a kid and you know, you had like, we came down like, you know, with your parents or somebody was in town or whatever it was and everybody had to either go, you went to Arnie's, which was Arnie Morton, and that event ended up becoming Morton's, you know, the Morton's chain. That was his kid. That was Arnie. And Zorin's, which was Arnie's wife, which was the hot. That was where the triangle, you know, back in my day, kids, that's the Viagra Triangle was Arnie's.
When it was just the triangle?
Arnie's and Sweetwater, and then that little triangle park where there was somebody trying to sell you a balloon.
Was that code?
No. Well, that too. There was all right. So, like when I was a kid in the '70s, they would try to sell you like an actual balloon,
right,
or like, you know, a light up thing. You know, so like a kid's toy, a dolphin that, you know, a battery dolphin that you put in your bathtub. Those kinds of things.
Is that code?
Yeah, and then
and the hard stuff comes in balloons. You know?
And then in the '80s, they were trying to sell you the little balloons with the stuff in it.
I've seen Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And then the next thing you know, and then what happened, what was real good, was real nice-like, is when the Gibson's guys came in and they cleaned up that whole thing. You know, they made this, they made it a tourist destination again. Mm-hmm. You know, where the guys were trying to sell you gold chains and balloons filled with white powders of various different kinds. Please don't confuse them. Were, you know, kind of moved along. So it was great. So it's a very, anyway, I don't know how that works into our plug for Queenie's, but still.
We're still plugging it.
It's a great place. Queenie's, none of that is happening.
Yeah. So here's what you get. You're going to get, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, you are going to get a pair of tickets to the Hawks game against the Blues next week. And then you're also going to get this opportunity to go hang out with us while we're doing our live pre-game show from Queenie's, which is right there. Right, and it's in the new, brand new atrium. Like, if you look up in the atrium, it's right there. It's like an overhang. So, got that.
Very cool spot.
Very cool spot. All right, Brett Baer is going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll talk about all the craziness in Washington. But first, let's talk to Judy. Aunt Judy, what's coming up in the news?
Well, several hate crimes in the Chicago area.
Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna off today. Brett Baer is on the Super Celebrity Hotline. You know him, you love him, from Special Report on the Fox News Channel starting at 5 o'clock right here in Chicago. And Brett, can I ask you a personal question? Do you mind?
Sure, bro.
Okay. We've known each other a long time. How are you feeling about the kind of the tone toward the press that the White House is showing, or the president specifically is showing?
Yeah, it's not the best.
Are you concerned about it?
Yeah, I'm concerned a little bit about it. I've been asked about, you know, what do you think of enemy of the people? And, you know, the president says it's fake news is the enemy of the people, not media overall, but he calls anything he really doesn't like fake news. So I've said I hate that term, and I said I wish it wasn't, you know, on the campaign trail, it wasn't so visceral. That said, on the flip side, I do think that this, you know, the White House press pool and the media are not acting like traditional media. You know, I covered the White House. Brit Hume covered the White House. So did Chris Wallace. We talked about it the other day. You know, you can ask the president pointed questions, and you can do a pointed follow-up, but you're not in an argument with the president. Your job is to cover the president and to, you know, get answers to questions.
And I think that's fair. That's fair criticism of Jim Acosta, but I don't think it's necessarily fair criticism of Abby Phillips, who's just asking a very straight-up question today at the on the helicopter ramp there.
And, no, exactly.
And he goes, that's a stupid question, and you ask stupid questions. When she was asking, do you want the acting attorney general to rein in Robert Mueller? I mean, that's a legitimate question.
Which is not a stupid question. That's a central question, you know? It's not. But this is Donald Trump. There's no excusing it. I mean, there's no saying that it's a great thing. He's chosen to be president a different way than other presidents have.
That's very diplomatic. I like that
way of saying decorum is different.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, the press needs to realize that you feed into it if you play that role in a different way than the press has traditionally played it.
I think we have a symbiotic feedback loop is what we have right here. We're both sides amping each other up. And I, as an American, it's like mommy and daddy are fighting, and I don't feel real safe with it. You know, I don't think we're getting the best out of anybody here. All right,
listen, it also spurs off what we saw with Tucker Carlson at his house.
Right, for people who don't know, there was a bunch of protesters, Antifa, claiming to be Antifa members, that surrounded his house and were screaming threats, and police were called. And that happened
at the front door. His wife was locked in the pantry, called 911. Right. I mean, that stuff, you know, we're getting to a different level here, right?
Right.
And
sure.
You look at the pipe bombs sent to CNN or whatever they were. And, you know, that's a different level, and we need to take the level down a number of notches.
Yeah, Yeah, we're on 11, heading toward 12, but we need to get back to about 4.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we're going to lose our hearing otherwise. Let me ask you about, let's just talk about the assistant attorney general here for the moment, or the acting attorney general, I should say. A lot of controversy. It seems like there's the stories now, and it's amazing because this has only really been about 36 hours that we've known about this guy, right? And where we are now in terms of almost 48 hours, where we are now on the acting attorney general, the guy who's replacing Jeff Sessions, at least for the moment, before they're able to get somebody else up and confirmed. A lot's coming out about he was on CNN. He was a contributor to CNN for a short period of time, talking about the Mueller investigations. Already kind of talked about that. Now he's involved in this other company after he left the U.S. Attorney's Office in Iowa. He worked for this company for a short period of time where he did some legal work for him, and he threatened some of the customers of the company that wanted to narc on the company to the Better Business Bureau and to federal regulators. That company eventually did run into problems because they were cheating their customers. Is this a guy that the White House has to get away from, do you think?
Yeah, which is why I think you heard the president today. I don't really know him. He said it four times on the heading to Marine One. Well, I mean, it's a guy he just put in acting attorney general.
Right. And he had said Fox's air that he knew him well.
A few weeks before, right?
Yeah.
So I think that is the beginning of distancing the president from Whitaker. I don't think he'll be in the position that long. There are all kinds of questions, including an op-ed from Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, in which he writes that the appointment is unconstitutional because he's not Senate confirmed. The line of succession would be the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, but obviously the president has some issues with him. I think you're going to get a nominee sooner rather than later to try to stem this criticism, and I think Chris Christie is in the position to be that nominee.
Yeah, I think he'd be easily confirmable, too. So
there might be some questions about a bridge in New Jersey, but other than that, he should be able to get through.
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay. He's actually been, I think, in the aftermath of this, I think he's been very even-handed, actually, about his thoughts on what's happening here. And I also think, he was known as a very, very aggressive prosecutor, and he's I think he's the kind of guy that may be a good compromise. All right. Very quickly, I want to ask you this. The president on Sunday is going to be in France. It is the 100th anniversary of the armistice of World War I, the Great War, as it was known. I know this is, as a student and an author of history, this is a very important important moment. I know you see it as an important moment. Will the president behave here? Because we kind of really need him to.
I think so, although he just tweeted as Air Force One was landing, President Macron of France has just suggested that Europe build its own military in order to protect itself from the U.S., China, and Russia. Very insulting. Perhaps Europe should first pay its fair share of NATO, which the U.S. subsidized greatly. So,
oh boy.
That's before he's getting off Air Force One. So we shall see.
Oh, all right. Well, there's your answer. Well, Brett, I hope, are you working this weekend for that?
I am not. After that election run, I'm taking the weekend off, I will be back at it for the Florida recount, which in earnest starts on Wednesday.
How about that?
And it reminds me of 40 days and 40 nights in Tallahassee in 2000.
I ran into Bill Daley last night at an event here for the police in Chicago, and he's running for he's going to run for mayor of the city of Chicago. And I said, "Hey, how about that Florida recount?" Because remember, he was the guy running the recount on behalf of Al Gore. So
right.
There was that. So it's old as new, my friend.
Well, tell Bill I said hi. I knew him from down there, and I covered the Gore campaign at the end, and it was quite something. The same lawyer who, Barry Richard, who worked for the Democrats, is working for the Democrats again for Gillum and Nelson.
Yeah, they're getting the band back together. All right, Brett, thanks very much. Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you.
All right, Brett Baer, Fox News Channel. Alright, now what does that tell you right there? That tells you Susie Sunshine is standing by on the Super Celebrity Hotline, and maybe other people all the other media that she does around the world now calls her by her real name, Susan Schmidt. She is the head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors, which is one of the biggest. Aviva is one of the biggest companies in the world. So congratulations on that. And they base their North American operations here in Chicago. So that's another great thing. And they put you in charge of it. That's another great thing. But here's the thing. But you started with us first, and you were Susie Sunshine from the very beginning. And I just want you to always remember to be humble.
Well, when you call me Susie Sunshine Weekly, it's hard not to be. So I keep that in mind. And again, it's a special honor. You're the only show that addresses me by Susie Sunshine. So, yeah,
so true.
It's always special.
So true. All right, let's talk about the election sigh of relief that happened on Wednesday. You know, it was divided government as of Tuesday night, or at least divided government starting in January. For the U.S., so you can have a House and a Senate. And that's going to drive Washington crazy, right? It's going to make lobbyists very rich. It's going to make some other, the media very crazed. And maybe Americans a little nervous. But it's good for business?
Business is like that. So this is good. A divided Washington means not a lot is going to change. And that is good for maybe not Republicans, maybe not Democrats, but certainly for capitalists. And the people who are capitalists are invested in the market, and they want business to succeed. So they don't like government intervention. The fact that Washington is going to be tied up and preoccupied is a positive for them because they've already seen all the good that Washington can bring. We've
is that really true?
Cuts.
Is that? But I want, okay, you take that one at a time. But you think that this was the most that Wall Street and that American business anticipated they were going to get in the last 2 years?
Well, I really do think that, remember, sentiment builds in the market. So I really do think that we've seen what this was coming to. There was a lot of nervousness coming into midterm elections. No one trusted the polling. I think you saw the market really step back. We saw a very nervous October. And I think what they saw here was, all right, or sigh of relief, it's behind us. It actually came out pretty much like it was expected to. And there's a comfort to that. We're back to, all right, this is what we expected. Remember, the market doesn't like surprises. And back to the good, they've already seen great tax cuts. They've seen the reduction in regulatory oversight. So those are both positives. So they've got that tailwind behind them still. And I think that's what they were looking for.
All right. Well, now the Fed. Now, the president has already said that he's very mad at the Fed. He would like to, very rarely, if ever, in American political history, since the Federal Reserve was founded, has there been a president who's been openly critical of the chairman of the Fed, as the president has been, and now there's talk they're going to raise interest rates again. They've already kind of created a schedule for this, right?
Well, they have. So the Fed met this week. There was no press conference, but we did have a meeting. They're going to have another Fed meeting in December. Nothing happened this week, but in December, it's widely expected that the Fed is going to raise rates another quarter of a percent, and that's in keeping with what the Fed has really been messaging out to the markets and to the U.S. population, saying we're going to try and keep inching interest rates up and getting back to a normal yield curve, so normal interest rate schedule. And the president is unique in his commentary on the Fed. He is the first president who has openly criticized the chairman of the Fed and seems to continue to be upset with him over the interest rate moves. But remember that Jay Powell, chairman of the Fed right now,
as opposed to K. Powell, our sports
exactly,
guy.
Exactly.
K. Powell.
But he is very independent. Kevin, I'm sure you're very independent, too.
Very much so.
But Jay Powell is not going to buckle to the president, and I think that is really where it's a war of wills. Jay Powell is looking at, as the rest of the governors, what's going on in the economy, what can we do, how can they best serve the economy overall, and remember that they aren't subject to reporting to the president. The president can't dictate their actions. They're an independent entity. And so that's very important. And I think that we're going to continue to see certainly an interest rate increase in December and more interest rate increases as we move into 2019.
But will that slow up the economy, do you think?
Well, remember that parts of the economy are doing really well right now. So we just had a huge jobs number last week, 250,000 jobs added. We had, you know, average hourly earnings are creeping up. We've seen the lowest unemployment. So those are all very positive signs. And I think consumer confidence is still high. A gradual increase in interest rates against a positive backdrop economy can be very healthy. And I think that this inching up of interest rates gradually and in an expected fashion is something that the market can absorb.
All right. All right. Now, and the last thing that I've been told to talk to you about, oil prices. Oil prices are going through the floor, right?
Oil prices are dropping just a bit here. And it's interesting because we're seeing a lot of volatility in oil. Remember, we thought we started to see some strength in it over the summer. Oil was coming back to life. We saw, you know, better pricing. And then suddenly now we're seeing oil really backing off. There's a couple things at work there. One is we're seeing Iran supply coming back online. The sanctions against Iran aren't really that severe because 8 countries are going to be able to buy Iranian oil. So Iran's production is going to be going full force. At the same time, people are worried about the Chinese economy. Is that slowing? Is the global economy slowing? Have we peaked? And that tends to make people back off oil as a commodity. So we're also seeing that. It's interesting, and OPEC is definitely paying attention because now OPEC is starting to spread out rumors that maybe they'll think about production cuts and supply cuts again as we move into the spring of 2019. So they are starting to see that oil price is falling a little bit more than they would like, and they're going to try to boost it up with some commentary.
I haven't seen the gas prices that much lower here, though. Am I missing that?
No, we haven't seen a big drop off in gas prices.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Well, there is a lag, because remember, you don't get oil straight out of the ground and pour it into your car. It has to go through a refining process.
I do. I actually, and I tried this.
You have a well in your backyard.
I tried to do this. I live in the city. I got an alley, so I've been drilling into the alley trying to get to the oil, and then just going to put the thing right in. I figure that, you know, all my fancy neighbors have those electronic cars that they plug in. I figure I'm going to outdo them. I'm going to build my own oil derrick.
There you go.
My garage.
You need to get some permits for a refinery as well.
No,
I think that will help you out.
They don't seem to have them in Indiana. Why should they have them here? All right, Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt, who is the head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there she goes. Let's check in with Aunt Judy now, who's been tippling, and we'll find out if that's going to affect her voice.
Well, the FDA wants to ban menthol cigarettes.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna off today. We're just hanging out here in the kitchen with Aunt Judy and the kids.
Try not to burn down the house.
Right. Tom Skilling, our neighbor, is coming over.
Oh, get another bottle of vodka.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my reputation precedes me.
Yeah. I meant for us, Tom.
Yeah, right, yeah. I see, Judy. I see. Gosh.
We have to make a... He likes drinks that are kind of on the sweet side.
Yes. Yes.
So that's where... Now, that's where I told Aunt Judy, because she knows this trick.
Yes.
You go to the freezer. You mm-hmm. get a Minute Maid frozen orange juice or lemonade.
Yes.
And you just take a spoonful of it, and you put it into a glass, mm-hmm. and then you pour the vodka over it at room temperature. You got to have the room temperature vodka, because it turns out that the icing of the vodka is not good for it. I don't know if people knew that, but that's true. A lot of people have bottles of vodka in their freezer.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Why? It dilutes it?
It's not good for the process of the vodka.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it. So
who'd have known?
I know. They thought it was just more fun because it makes it thicker. I don't know. I never understood the whole concept of it. But anyway, so you just room temperature vodka, you put it in, you just kind of mix it up real good, maybe with a fork, because you got to get it kind of going. And then you just start chugging that. That's what we do around here.
That sounds horrible.
I drink it.
I drink it if I put it in a blender with some ice. But what
if we don't have a blender, though?
You have a blender for the 100th time.
We don't have one at work yet.
Right, exactly.
I'll bring my NutriBullet. It's very handy.
And what I'd like to know is
what?
Why did anybody think that vodka would get thicker when it gets cold? I mean, you put antifreeze in your car, alcohol, to keep it from freezing.
It does get a little thicker, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
It turns syrupy.
Yeah, it gets syrupy. It does get thicker.
Why?
I don't know.
Because whatever water, I don't know. I was going to try to fake it, and then I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
My life.
I don't know. Maybe it just feels thicker because it's cold. I don't know.
No, visibly you can see a difference. It doesn't pour out like liquid. It pours out.
In college,
like-
we always kept the hard stuff in the freezer because when you took shots, it was easier to take when it was freezing cold. Like vodka, very cold is easier to take a shot of.
Right, because it doesn't burn as much.
Right, it just goes right down.
Yeah. I only put vodka in the freezer to make sure my son didn't put water in the bottle instead.
Yeah, yeah, big plan right there. Very smart.
I don't have to do it anymore, though, now. Everyone's 21. So.
Although it wouldn't have frozen anyway, I don't think. Would it have?
Water, yeah.
Yeah, but the water would be with the vodka. Well, you mean just replacing it with all water?
Well,
oh, that's bad.
Or even some of it, I think it would half freeze. It'd be much slushier if there was water in there.
Interesting. That might be true.
And if my son, he probably would have drank it all anyway.
Tom, you're the scientist. Do you explain this?
Yeah, right.
You've gotten in beyond me. I have no explanation. I'm not a chemist.
Well, there's been plenty of ice outside falling from the sky.
That's true.
Oh.
And you notice it all melded, too,
so typical. It did, but I do want to like to lodge a formal complaint with the complaint department.
Yeah.
I didn't get that over.
You know, they went home early.
Yeah,
I see them, though. Yeah. I do see them. I would like to file this because I thought it was coming in last night, originally, because I didn't talk to you yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to catch up on that. Actually, last couple of days, because you were out sick.
Ailing, yes.
So
I have so many cold medicines coursing through my veins. EPA has declared me and my circulatory system a Superfund. Look, the voices at least come back.
It's better. That sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
See, I think that as I woke up this morning, I thought, all right, well, the best has passed here because I went home last night. I was at the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation Valor Awards. I hosted those last night.
Very nice.
At McCormick Place. An amazing night. And we were honoring Paul Bauer's family.
Yes.
And they were the Valor recipients. And then Miles Berger, the great Chicago philanthropist, real estate magnate and all that, he got our Golden Vest Award. But I want to say that the best part of the evening was when we gave away, we've had a Dodge Ram truck, like an actual pickup truck.
That's very cool.
Those are sweet.
That is totally decked out with Chicago Police Memorial Foundation stuff on it. It's a gray, slate gray, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful vehicle. And we've been raffling it off to civilians and police since the auto show. They've been raffling this off. And a Chicago police officer in the 18th district, Paul Bauer's district, won it last night.
How about that?
We're going to have him on a little bit later on. And he's Romanian, so we're going to find out if Violetta actually speaks Romanian, because he does.
Wow.
So we're going to, it's really interesting.
Oh,
Romanian,
I speak Romanian.
He came here as a little kid, and it's really interesting. He's got an interesting story. And he's a Chicago police officer now. Cool. Really cool. So, in just a second year, just starting a second year on the job. So this is like it's a great Chicago story. We're really proud of everything that the Memorial Foundation does, but also of this young kid. You know, it's a great story, and he's right there in that district that has been so deeply impacted by the loss of their commander, very, very popular figure in the Chicago Police Department.
Well, we've sure seen an example of our first responders at work with that Thousand Oaks fiasco, wasn't that awful?
Last night, we paid tribute also to that fallen sheriff's sergeant who was there from Ventura County, who was first one in, didn't wait for anybody, wasn't properly, I don't think he was even vested at that point. He just went in and probably saved some lives, because the exchange of gunfire certainly interrupted the flow of what the shooter was doing there, and may have we're waiting for results, but may have actually dropped the shooter as well.
Wow, it's amazing. You know, somebody made the point. I had plenty of time to be home watching all this when I was ill, and they made the point. There have been 11 mass shootings in this country. They define a mass shooting as, I guess, 4 victims or more in the last, I think, like 2 weeks, isn't it? And it's just incredible. And not a thing has been done at the federal level to limit these guns. Some states have taken actions, but there has been no action taken to ban these, you know, magazines or any of these assault weapons that they walk. And I guess this guy used just
handguns,
a handgun.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I one handgun with an extended clip, though.
Yeah,
which is the exact same weapon that was used to kill Paul Bauer.
Jeez.
So. You know, when you stop and you think about just the day. I mean, and I get, I mean, you know, this is an endless debate, and this is why it in the short term is not going to be solved. But there is a very compelling moment from today where a mom of one of the victims was on camera and, you know, saying, you know, thoughts and prayers. I'm sick and tired of thoughts and prayers.
I want to do something.
I want gun control. And what's also interesting is that the shooter in this case had tweeted out a thing about thoughts and prayers. The irony is that people want thoughts and prayers after these things happen. This is, and that was after an earlier mass shooting, I think, from last week.
The shooter?
The shooter had tweeted that out.
Oh,
you know?
Brother.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, you know, was... And, and you know, we run into... You know, there's always going to be these this argument about, well, it's mental illness and what do we do? But, I mean, that's... In these cases, these mass shooter cases that we're dealing with, Las Vegas maybe not... Because we don't really know too much about
what
that guy.
What he was all about, yeah.
But we do. But in a lot of cases, there were obvious signs of mental illness, or at least a break from reality for some of
these people. I gather this guy was an example of that,
yeah.
Huh?
Well, what's, yeah.
He said his mother was afraid of him.
Right. He was living with his mom. He had been uncontrollable since he'd come back,
yeah.
Essentially. And it was undoubtedly a combination of his experience in the military and some of the other things that were going on in his life. And it was it's an amazing... I think miss on our part because there are other places around the world that don't have this.
No, that's
that,
true.
You know, have and we seem to be plagued by it, and we seem to be in a situation where it's now becoming an encouragement. Where you know, there's such a velocity of these events that it's encouraging more of. It appears to be. I don't want to say encouraging, but it seems to be leading to more events, and it's a really, really, really scary thing. And how about this? How about there were two people in this bar in Thousand Oaks, California, Ventura County, California, that is now catching fire, and we'll talk about that in a
yeah,
second.
Fire's headed for there now.
Yeah, but they are, but the two people, one who survived and one who did not, who survived the Las Vegas shooting.
It's amazing. Gosh, can you imagine that?
That isn't that crazy?
That is really crazy. And both were country western
events.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah, I don't know where it's Friday afternoon. I don't know how we're not going to solve this today, but it's certainly worth remembering those victims, and it's certainly worth remembering the heroic actions of
our first responders.
Sheriff Sergeant Helos, who went in there and lost his life 29 years on the job.
Jeez. It's amazing. And ready
Paul was
to
on the phone with his mom, with his wife.
Yeah.
He was on the phone with his wife when he got the call and was talking to her on his way to the incident.
Yeah. And he said, I've got to go. I hear there's something going on.
Yeah.
And he left.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It breaks your heart.
It absolutely does.
Breaks your heart.
So the fires, did you see that Caitlyn Jenner's house burned down?
I heard that.
And that the Kardashian West mansion may be next.
Just stunning. 1.9 million acres, I think, have burned in California this year, this fire season, which is stunning.
Now, the one up north... The one north of San Francisco, there's two major fires going on in California right now.
Yes.
There's one down in, right now it's in Ventura County around Calabasas.
Yes.
And then the other one is up north, and that one has now, I think, become in just 48 hours, the third largest fire in California history.
Stunning. 85 miles north of Sacramento. Yeah, it's called the Camp Fire. And the satellite imagery on the smoke plume coming off that is amazing. I guess it's been fanned by 30 to 40 mile per hour fires. And of course, that region's in drought, as is much of the West. So, you know, these fires get going and they're channeled through canyons and all in parts of California. So it's a bad scene out there. Really scary.
Yeah. And This is peak fire season right now, right? This had October, November.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Ro. It used to be 6 or 7 months. They say now it's virtually a year-round phenomenon. There is no definitive season right now. What normally is happening now is they get some rain to come in, and it's been pretty dry. So they haven't had the rainy season start yet. That usually starts in October sometime. And in fact, when they report out the rainfall, they call it the rain season. And that begins October 1st each year out there. And that at least mitigates some of the risk of these things. But, you know, it's been dry. So
I know.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Imagine living with that. They say there were people burned to death in their cars.
Oh, my God.
This stuff spreads so
Tom,
fast. No, really.
The cough medicine's getting to you.
I know. It's so sad. I mean, it is
awful.
You just you can't even get away from this.
Well, get out when you can. I mean, this is the one thing we learned. At least the Kardashians are teaching us all an important thing. When worse comes to worse, jet to Bimini. Get on your personal jet and fly to Bimini.
Like all of us can do that. Yeah.
Which is what they did to get away from all of this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. All right, Tom. All right, just very quickly, I just need one piece of weather information for the weekend.
Well, a chilly weekend. It'll run about, the Bears. Not bad. It'll be kind of cloudy on Sunday, a little peak
of there's going to be wind, right?
Yeah, there'll be some
wind out of the north?
West to southwest.
Out of the west to southwest?
Yes.
Oh, crossing, swirling.
That's true.
Swirling. Oh, God.
And,
That's how Coach Matt Nagy described it today. Swirling winds.
Swirling. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mark that down, Vic.
Okay. I got to think about it.
That's good.
By the way, my name is now Nick.
Oh, right.
Nick, I'm now the cousin of Vic.
Oh, okay. What happened to Vic? Do we want to know?
Because he's a client. Okay.
Okay.
Listen. So it's the swirling winds. Okay. So that's
three. There's going to be quite a weather turnaround the second half of next week. We could be in the low 50s by Thursday.
I think you could say 80s. I would have been all over that.
I wish it was that high, but no, if it really got moving, we could be higher than that. But nice Pacific air coming. And we were looking 75% of years from this point forward, still see a 60-degree temperature.
I need one more fall ball day, Tom. Yeah. One more round.
All right.
Kevin, for you, we'll work on that.
All right, go save your voice.
Okay.
I can hear it going. All right, goodbye.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
Let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A body found in a front yard in West Chicago.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Yeah.
I'm giving up on the DJ talk.
Yeah.
I can't do it like you, man.
That's just a laugh during the echo. My God.
I'm an amateur.
Amateur. Amateur.
I haven't had as much to drink.
That's right. Plus, you got to go clean your revolver in the bathroom, which is what every DJ does.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah. Why does it smell like lighter fluid in here? All right. Hold on. Hold on. Judy Pilek is standing by, and she's got the WGN News coming your way. Well, is it coming your way right now? Yes? Being brought to you by Midwest Laundries? It is, Judy. It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna, off today. Sweet! Luke Ganellis joins us on the Super Celebrity Hotline as we get ready for the Bears and Lions on Sunday. And Sweet Lou, this question for you.
Talk to me, Ralph.
The wind's going to be swirling. It's going to be swirling real nice over by above 30, maybe 30, maybe 40 miles an hour gusts swirling. I gotta go with the under.
What is the under?
44.
Let's see here, 44. Kev, no hook? No hook on the under?
No hook on the under.
Okay.
Still 6.5, Kevin?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God, okay. 6 in the hook. Oh, God, I hate a hook on 6.
Wow.
Lou, let's keep in mind the injury reports today. Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson appear to be full go for Sunday, and TJ Lang, the starting right guard for Detroit, out, as is Darius Slay, one of their starting cornerbacks.
Yeah, I heard that good news. I'm
really excited about Mac. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about Mac practicing all week, Kevin. I'll tell you what. Yeah. And Taylor Gabriel and Allen Robinson. And the Bulls are Bulls. The Bears are basically at full health. And as long as Rick Wagner's on that offensive line for Detroit. By the way, for those of you wondering who Rick Wagner is, he is the guy that tried to block the Minnesota Vikings last week and failed miserably. The Vikings with 10 quarterback sacks of Matthew Stafford. So I'm liking the Bears to have a field day on that offensive line of Detroit's.
Nick, come on, Khalil Mack. He's ready to go.
I don't know. I mean, how do you look in practice? I mean, I don't know. My spies, I don't know.
How did he look in practice? Did he look okay?
He looked great.
Is he moving? Now,
obviously, I think Mack's a good practice player, but he's a gamer. And after sitting out a couple of games and watching the defense play as well as it did, Vic, without him.
Nick. It's Nick. It's Nick now because Vic's a real guy. Go ahead.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so all right. So here's the question though. Do we have any idea if it's healed well enough, or it's still going to be a kind of a nagging thing? Do we get any sense from the Bears organization about that?
Sense I have is that he's healed.
Okay.
That
good.
The fact that he practiced in full all week. Every day this week says to me that he didn't have to sit out at all to make sure that it was okay. And listen, the organization realizes what's ahead. Three straight games over the course of 12 days, yeah. All in the division. You're talking about a Bears team that's been absolutely dreadful against its own division the last few years. 6-25 against the Vikings, Lions, and Packers. That's worse than what Cleveland's done against its division in the AFC North the last few years. So,
and they've lost 9-10 to Detroit. 10 straight divisional losses for the Bears. But as Matt Nagy said today, I mean, we can look at those numbers. This is a completely different team than what they've had in the past. So I don't really think you put too much stock into it. He said they really weren't thinking about it, but this is a crucial stretch here, Lou, and this is going to be kind of defining 12 days here for the Bears.
It's the season.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. It's the season. I think I threw the number out there last week, Vic, Nick, whatever the hell your name is.
Nick.
Yeah. The Bears in the last 10 years have had an above 500 record in the second half of the season once. Mm-hmm. Just once.
I know. How about that?
I mean, that is an amazing moment of futility. Even in our lifetimes, Lou, because we're not spring chicken no more.
We saw enough Bob Avellini, Abe Gibron, Jack Pardee Bears play over the 70s.
Yes, we certainly did. That I don't. I am not in any way. I wasn't prepared for this decade of absolute uselessness, and now they really have turned around. I mean, you got a team that is 5-3 at the half. They're on their way.
First place.
You got this sense that this team is for real. Amazing talent, really a great lineup. For a second year quarterback, in any other time in NFL history, as second year quarterback, people would be pretty comfortable with Mitch Trubisky. But I think because there have been these, whether it's Goff or Mahomes or any of the guys who are second and third year guys who are playing lights out, I think he's in a tough situation because there's so much other comparative pressure on him, and he does seem to have one deficiency, which is hitting a guy deep in stride.
Well, accuracy is a biggest issue, no question. And what bothers Bears fans because of that is that when he came out of the draft out of North Carolina, everyone thought, well, the one issue we don't have to worry about, the one trait with Mitchell Trubisky is his accuracy. But, that really, guys, is a result of a young quarterback who's still learning on the job, who isn't comfortable at certain points, who's still reading defenses out there. So let's be patient with the guy.
Right.
And everyone keeps comparing him to Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs, and that's just really unfair because Mahomes has been learning that Kansas City offense for two seasons, and this is what? Trubisky's into this offense for eight games.
Nine games, yeah.
And can we just address, I realize a lot, like, we hear about it quite a bit here on WGN, between Rowe and OB, the whole Mahomes-Trubisky comparison. But let's take a second to realize what Ryan Pace has done in the draft, even particularly with this 2018. Roquan Smith has been an impact player. Anthony Miller has been an impact player. James Daniels has been an impact player. Bilal Nichols has been an impact player. He drafted Eddie Jackson last year.
He's playing.
He's questionable with a knee.
Oh.
So we'll see with him. Ryan Pace has built a core here with this team. And I remember last year talking about the Bears, and Judy Pilak was like, we are naming players. She goes, who are these players? It's been so long since you can point to people and everyone automatically recognizes these players. You get the sense that the Bears have a core now, and a majority of this team is going to be here this year and next year and the year after that. Guys like Jackson or Eddie Goldman up front or Akeem Hicks or Roquan Smith. So I understand people have that frustration with Mahomes and the Trubisky whole thing, but Ryan Pace has done a really good job at building a team that has a core that seems real and sustainable.
Okay, Jimmy Olsen, yeah, listen, sit down for a second. Hold on.
I got fired up there for a second, Nick.
I got my own thoughts about this.
All right, Nick.
All right, I need, Sweet Lou, I need your answers. Over, under, and Bears.
Man, I'm going to take, bro, you're not going to like to hear this. I'm going to take the over.
I mean, I like that that slogan, that
life's,
expression.
Life's too short to take the under.
Yeah. The over. Yeah, but do you think? I mean, Detroit does have one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Used to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Remember, the Bears are averaging 34 points per game over the last five games. They've been putting up points.
All right.
I like the Bears over in this game. It's a bad Detroit defense. So listen, I'm going to make it easy for you, Nick. lay the points.
Yeah.
All right. The Bears will win by more than a touchdown, and it's going to be over 44.
I love it. Sweet Lou, bringing the heat.
Listen to Uncle Lou for once in your life.
You want $2 on the par too?
No, I'm going to stay away from the par this week.
Stay away from the par, okay.
I like how direct Lou talks to Nick, you know?
Yeah.
You can't let him walk all over.
Yeah, because Lou knows Nick. I mean, he's, you know.
He's like, nah, I'm
going
to stay
him
away
around.
From that.
Yeah. Lou has like 14 uncles named Nick, so but he's not sure which one it is, but that's how it goes. Hey, you know, I'm going to give you another winner.
You want a two-game par?
Yes, I'm going to give you another winner here.
Uh-oh.
Northwestern
Cats.
10.5-point dogs at Iowa.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
Big number right there.
Tell me you're taking the Hawkeyes and laying the points on the home of the Cats.
I'm not.
No,
I'm not. I'm taking the Cats in that. They're getting 10.5 points.
That's the hook, Lou. They got the hook, I'm going to tell you right now.
Excuse me, I haven't followed it. Where's it been going this week? Did it open up at 10.5, or has all the action been going on the Hawkeyes?
I haven't seen it move much. I've seen just 10.5 for the most part. But, man, look at the way Northwestern played Notre Dame last week. I know it was at home, but still, Notre Dame appears to be the real deal.
I mean, I know it's tough to
win for something.
It's tough to win
for something. They're playing for a spot in the Big Ten championship for the first time in the history of the school.
Yeah, well, if Cats win and Purdue and Wisconsin lose, they're headed to the Big Ten championship game.
How great is that?
That's awesome. Phenomenal.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, they've been outstanding in the Big Ten West over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I know they had struggles outside the conference early on, but Fitz normally gets his team rolling, you know, in the second half or at least when conference play rolls around. I'm going with you, Ro.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I'm staying away from it, guys.
All right, I got another one.
Sorry,
Ralph. Let me try another one. Let me try another one. I got the Buckeyes up in East Lansing against Michigan State, and they're giving up 3.5.
Oh, I'm going Buckeyes here.
It's a game they can't lose.
Right. This is everything
this is
for
the
Ohio
entire
State.
Entire season right here
right.
for Ohio State. Lou.
Yeah.
Lou's writing it all down.
Exactly. I never got so much knowledge from Nick in my life. Most of the time, Nick. Sorry,
Nick. Nick. God, get it right. I get another bit of trouble.
It's Vic's third cousin, Nick.
I think they have the same sister.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God. Yeah, they do, actually. It's weird. I don't know how it worked out. All right, so you're going to stay away from that one, too? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I'm going to play it safe. The one I feel really good about is the Bears this week.
All right.
Bears are a team that's learned its lessons over the last few weeks, and now they're healthy and ready. They understand what's at stake these last eight games, and they're at home. They've got the crowd behind them. It's a big step. This is a major step. You know, this is the one game that Bears fans look at the schedule at this point in the season, and they'd be understanding if they lost after playing the Vikings 4 days later on Thanksgiving Day at Detroit. They'd be a bit understanding if they lost to the Vikings, considering where the Vikes were picked at the beginning of the season. This one, this is one they have to win, especially with the way they've played the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Hey, let me, the other game that's happening this weekend that is of consequence to Bears fans is Green Bay at home against Miami. And Green Bay are 9.5-point favorites at Lambeau after basically, you know, having a fairly miserable season so far by Green Bay standards. And you know that Miami team is kind of, I mean, they like home cooking, that Miami team.
I know, don't take my language.
But I don't think that they're going to win by 9.5. Just a little something right there.
Really?
Yeah.
See, again, Nick, I beg to differ, and I'm taking the Packers and laying the points.
Oh, okay, good. I got you down. All right. You want, what do you want?
9.5 Green Bay, Lou says.
You want a dime or a nickel on that?
I want a nickel on that one.
Nickel on that one. Okay, nickel. All right. And you taking over under on that? Take a little over under action?
Over under is 47.5, and I think that Mr. Rogers, in his own neighborhood, puts up 40 on his own, so I like the Packers big, and I like the over.
Okay, all right. A little par, a little maybe.
No parlay.
A dollar on the par, not a dollar, no. Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. All right, okay. All right, I got it. Thank you.
All right, Lou. Thank you very much, sir.
All right,
I'm writing all this down. We're going to count our money.
On Monday.
On Monday.
I want to make sure. I want to know. Don't be holding out Robux on me.
You got it. Because we don't actually bet real dollars. He's laying off the college games. I don't understand. I mean, this is not the Lou that I know and I love. All right. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Lou.
All right, guys.
Bye. All right. What I got right here.
I know what you got.
Are you excited about this?
Very.
How about caller number 7, 312-981-7200, wins a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks take on the Blues next Wednesday, and then join us for our live broadcast from the United Center at Queenie's Supper Club. Plus, you also get a $100 gift card to Queenie's as
what?
Well. I know. It's like we're giving away the store.
Beautiful.
Who can afford this?
Not us.
Not my money. That's for damn sure.
After this weekend, stick with me, kid.
Yeah, right. Stick with me, kid.
Stick with me, kid.
All right, Uncle Nick. All right, Uncle Nick.
I've got to figure it out, you know. All right, so I got Lou for a nickel.
Okay.
On the pack and the over, and I got him for, I said, you think he said a dime, didn't he? The dime on the Bears?
Yeah, it sounds right.
Are you ever concerned that Nick doesn't, like, take notes properly or is not putting the money on what you actually want?
Oh, well, Nick knows what he's doing here, Violetta, okay?
Oh. Yeah, Nick has got it all in his head. He's good with the numbers, not good with the talking so much.
Could you write it down, Nick?
Yeah. He's got a full spreadsheet in the back of his nightclub. It's foolproof.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's find out from Judy Pilak what's coming up at the top of the hour.
California wildfires chasing people from their homes.
Travel times are starting to even out. Right now, the Kennedy is an hour in both directions between O'Hare and downtown. Inbound trip is solid, starting back at Nagel to Montrose. Over on the Eisenhower right now, it's about an hour outbound from the old post office to 390. Inbound trip is recovering at 55 minutes, and the Stevenson is an hour. Lakeshore Drive to 355, 48 minutes inbound. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg, just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Podramedic in WGN Traffic Central.
Tomorrow, midday hockey from Philly as the Blackhawks take on the Flyers.
Hockey, baby!
Chris Bowden has your early pregame at 11:30. John Wideman and Troy Murray have the puck drop at high noon.
Chicago Blackhawks hockey plays on 720 WGN.
Hey guys, it's Dave Edit, and I'm here to talk about something men don't always want to talk about, prostate cancer. With all the treatments available today, you gotta know your options, and you gotta go to the experts, like Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Chicago. They offer patients CyberKnife radiation therapy. It's non-invasive, with little or no recovery time, and has a high success rate with some prostate cancers. Talk to their specialist today. Call 888-797-1767. That's 888-797-1767.
Wearing shorts and a t-shirt to a Blackhawks game?
So cold. So cold.
Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to help you find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast, which gives everyone a nice, warm feeling. Well, except this guy.
No, I'm okay.
No wonder ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. That's based on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. An official hiring partner of the Chicago Blackhawks. Blackhawks fans, try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Blackhawks. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Blackhawks. ZipRecruiter.com/Blackhawks.
How's a homeowner discover that their home insurance policy is out of date or not going to cover what it is that they need to cover? In other words, you're uninsured when something breaks and it doesn't work. They don't pay for it. How about that? How about this? You want smart insurance for the modern home. That's why you have to check out our friends at Hippo. You could save 25%. And right now, when you switch to Hippo, they're going to get you a smart home starter kit with two smart sensors that help prevent break-ins, water leaks, and fires. It's really cool. You'll also get a smart home discount offering coverage for all the items that run your home, like everything that plugs into the wall, for up to 25% less. It only takes seconds, and the policies are backed by Hippo's top-rated insurance partners with over $200 billion in assets. Go to myhippo.com. /WGN. MyHippo.com/WGN. You can save 25% right in 60 seconds. MyHippo.com/WGN. Go there now. Save yourself some money and save your possessions as well.
Start celebrating Christmas early with the Steve Cochran Show. They have a free $100 gift card for you at 9:20 a.m. on Monday. Is it getting better?
It's not so easy, is it, sweetheart?
What was that, honey?
Oh, man. All right, listen. We got a Carnival wagon that's going to roll. We got Rosie and the Rivets here for Live Music Friday.
Oh.
We got a top five. What's one of our favorite bands? They're damn near our house band.
They are so good.
Yeah.
Soulful.
And they added an instrument. Pardon the expression.
Are you playing the triangle?
Cowbell. Wait till you hear their sound now. You've loved Rosie and the Rivets for years, and now you are going to really, you're going to fall in love. Plus, that Rosie is something, man. That is something to see.
She's pretty.
All of that is coming your way, but first, I must remind you that we've got a top five five. We're going to act all, serious about that for a moment. And then the drinking starts right here. Rocontra with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Rocontra with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN now. Anna DeBlantis up today. Aunt Judy is minding the kids as best she possibly can while she's doing the news and drinking the vodka. Them.
She just sent us to go get her more cigarettes.
Yeah. Menthol, because apparently they're going to ban them.
Right. She's buying cases of menthol cigarettes right now.
They're so taking my menthols from me.
She wants to go sell them on the black market when it's all over.
You got to go to Bensonville. $5 a pack. There's a Citgo right down Irving.
Is that a paid advertisement from Bensonville?
This is the one.
Bensonville's Commerce Department?
The endorsement that she got. Citgo, fueling good and cheap cigarettes, too.
No, I think Nick operates
Bensonville
that one.
Bensonville is the one, that's the whole thing.
Because Bensonville's not adding their own tax or something? Mm-hmm, is that what they're doing?
Yep. Everybody knows.
They got a cigarette store over there, over by there?
Yep. It's on your way to
Is that where you
Schiller
get your Virginia
Park?
Slims?
I don't know what that means. It's on your way to Schiller Park, I think. There's like a Mirage Serbia nightclub. That's the only reason I know that.
Oh, my God.
That nightclub probably fuels like 90% of their business.
Yeah, on your way.
Go get more menthol.
Are you allowed to pass from Bensonville to...
Oh, without a passport? No. No. No, you're not.
They hold the passport out the window.
Right.
I have a green card, I swear.
Yeah, because Stone Park, I mean, that's really your finest. That's your finest municipality in the entire metropolitan area right there, Stone Park. Because that's, you know, people think that anything goes in Rosemont. And it kind of does. I mean, Rosemont's been, you know, it's very pro-business and very pro-entertainment and all of that.
Because it feels like a vacation.
Yeah, there's like one neighborhood and then it's like
right.
Casino. And,
yes.
Well, not the casino, but, you know, right.
Yeah, it's an entertainment district. Right. Entertainment and shopping district, right? Stone Park, it's like you enter into Stone Park and it's like, who's asking? There's no, it's what it says. Welcome to Stone Park. Who's asking?
Who's asking? City of who's asking?
What are you looking at me for? What do you know me? I don't think you know me. Anyway, so it's one street. It's Mannheim, right? There's a little bit of room to the left, a little bit of room to the right. There's some bars. There's some nightclubs. There's some liquor stores. There's some cigarette stores. And then
there's also a convent, though.
And a convent.
Those nuns have shut down quite a few.
But that convent, though, is also in Stone Park, and it's adjacent to another. I think the front entrance is in one place, and then they're back. You know, the they have it's a beautiful facility, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is in Stone Park. The back half of the building.
Right.
It's kind of a little bit of a complex there. Is
by the strip joint.
Yes. Yeah.
That door that
kitty
leads
corner
out.
To the strip is yeah. to the strip joint. Is that strip joint still there?
They got it shut down, I think.
Yeah.
Well, or they may have gotten like no alcohol or something, so
oh.
What?
Well, you know,
why bother?
That's good and that's bad because then you're going to get full nudity without the alcohol.
That's true. Always looking at the upside.
Well, somebody to
you got to look at it. Listen, I'm a businessman. I got to look at the upside.
Kevin, there's a White Pines Golf Club there.
Yeah, see, oh, that's the story because didn't White Pines have strippers from the strip clubs on the course?
Allegedly? Hey, we all know nothing.
Allegedly.
Why is he keep talking like that?
Sorry, Nick. I said too much. I'll shut up now.
Dad, shut up.
Why don't we live in Bensonville? It's getting me all excited.
I don't think Bensonville's the exciting one. Yeah. Stone Park is the exciting one.
I think I would choose Rosemont. No property taxes.
Right. No property. Matter of fact, they pay you to live. It's like Alaska. They pay
do,
you to live there.
They do yeah. give them a little
they
bump.
They get something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
bump every year.
Well, you get a bump in Chicago, too.
Here's a little, the mayor comes by and he just palms a five in your hand. Here's a little something for you. Hello,
a little
neighbor.
Something.
Here's
Thanks
a little something. Thank
here.
You very much.
It's like Willie
or they,
Wilson.
Or they put it up in your coat pocket. Here you go.
It's hard to even find a block of houses, but they're there.
Yeah they're there somewhere. I drove
well,
by the entrance
lives
once.
There, right?
Yeah, I mean it's like a gated community, and you go in, and it's like beautiful. It's like Nirvana. I mean, there's like it's like fountains and rainbows, and it's always sunny in there. I don't know how they did it.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
All right, there's a lot of post-election controversy in Florida. Right? You got the two major races for senator and governor. Up in the air. They're so close, they're up in the air, and still the votes are just trickling in. So this is Susan Boucher from Palm Beach County. They can't figure out where anything happened, and there's all this pressure, and you got Rick Scott, who's the governor, who's now running for Senate there against the incumbent Democratic senator, and it's like all hell's breaking loose, and the lawyers are fighting in the courtroom.
It's unfortunate that some of our highest elected leaders in the country are trying to impede our democracy because they don't like the demographics of our voters. We are here to count ballots. We have to adhere to the laws, and I would suspect that they really don't understand the process. We get military and overseas ballots, and those are faxes, and we have to print a ballot and duplicate their voter intent on those ballots, and that's what we're going to tabulate today. So we're winding down.
Okay. She sounds like a lot of fun at the party. Imagine she's not making it to the party tonight. She's probably going to have people over on a Friday night. The election's over. She was going to be just fine. Not anymore. You know, we could end up back with Hanging Chad, my nickname in high school. That could we could end up with the, with a hand recount in Florida on those two
I always
elections.
Wanted to hang with Chad.
But doesn't this happen a lot in Florida because of their rules on how close things are?
Well, there's an automatic recount under half a percentage point differential. But then comes the, there's a lot of other questions that come into play here. Like, how come some people are so confused? And now that, but you see, you got Rick Scott jumping into the whole thing. Well, this is voter fraud. And you know, whoever, and that's always a sign that a guy thinks he's going to lose when he starts screaming voter fraud. Because if he starts screaming voter fraud and he wins, that's going to be bad. Be careful who throws that out first.
Number four.
When asked by reporters about a selection of Matt Whitaker to replace Jeff Sessions at the Justice Department, the president said,
I don't know Matt Whitaker. Matt Whitaker worked for Jeff Sessions, and he was always extremely highly thought of, and he still is. But I didn't know Matt Whitaker. He worked for Attorney General Sessions. He was very, very highly thought of and still is highly thought of. But this only comes up because anybody that works for me, they do a number on them.
Mm-hmm. Remember what he said there at the top? I don't know Matt Whitaker.
He said it over and over.
Right. Except 3 weeks ago on Fox News.
Matt Whitaker is a great guy. I mean, I know Matt Whitaker, but I never talk about conversations that I had.
So you got a little bit. So I don't know. Which one is
no,
it?
No, let's start calling it what it is. He lied.
Well, he lied one way or the other. Maybe he didn't know Matt Whitaker at all. And he said he did because he wanted to sound like he was
pick,
in the know.
But it's still a lie. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, Judy. You want to end up like you want to end up like Jim Acosta? Is that what
yeah,
you want to end
know
up
what?
Like?
And the people who aren't behind him, I just don't understand that either. And you know, Brett Baer had such a good comment today when he said the president doesn't. He's acting like no other president has. Well, so then he can't expect to be treated like other presidents because they act in a certain way.
Well, the president's still very mad at Jim Acosta.
I think Jim Acosta is a very unprofessional man. I think he does this with everybody. He gets paid to do that. You know, he gets paid to burst in. He's a very unprofessional guy. Whether it was me or Ronald Reagan or anybody else, he would have done the same thing. I don't think he's a smart person, but he's got a loud voice.
The only problem is he was 12 during the Reagan administration. That's the only issue with that. He would have done this with Ronald Reagan if he weren't 12 years old.
And the way he burst into the White House?
Yeah.
What?
Well, they've made sure he can't bust into the White House anymore. Although he's in Paris right now. The French have given him a press pass, so we'll see what happens. But then how about April Ryan, right? Urban Radio Networks and CNN's April Ryan?
The same thing with April Ryan. I watch her get up. I mean, you talk about somebody that's a loser. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing. She gets publicity, and then she gets a pay raise, or she gets a contract with, I think, CNN. But she's very nasty, and she shouldn't be. She shouldn't be. You've got to treat the White House and the Office of the Presidency with respect.
What?
Oh, but I don't have to treat anyone with respect.
How about you better start treating me with respect?
I need more vodka before you continue.
Wait, no, hold on. This is even the best one. This is CNN's Amber Feld, who replaced Jim Acosta, asking this question, which is, are you hiring this guy to be the acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker, to rein in Robert Mueller?
Do you want them to rein in Robert Mueller?
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question. But I watch you a lot. You ask a lot of stupid questions.
You know what my response would have been?
Come here, you son of a... Come on! Get your damn helicopter!
That's what I would love to do. But I would have said, there are no stupid questions, just stupid answers.
But do you think
so
he's like starting to get the feeling that people almost enjoy the sparring with the media? So he's kind of.
I know, but now, right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he loves it because people enjoy this ridiculous spectacle, the circus that it is. Right.
He's egging. So he's
like, kind of, he knows what he's doing, but he's also giving into his own emotions here, too, because he's a little bit red-cheeked, if you will, about what happened over Tuesday. All right, hold on a second here. Let's check in with Judy. Judy, try to compose yourself. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, a body recovered from the Calumet River, but a woman still missing in Lake Michigan.
This week, an all-new Man of the People, Pat Tomasulo, is doing carpool karaoke with real everyday people. What could possibly go wrong? Saturday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Yeah, it's a Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. All right, top five, five. We're going to rush through the final three here.
Number three.
Because the Carnival Wagon is rolling, and we've got live music from Rosie and the River. It's Pamela Anderson joining a small group of celebrities who have publicly criticized the Me Too movement. In an interview with 60 Minutes Australia, Pam Anderson talks about posing for Playboy and how she didn't find that demeaning.
No one forced me to do anything. I think this feminism can go too far. I'm a feminist, but I think that this third wave feminism is a bore. I think it paralyzes men. I think that this Me Too movement is a bit too much for me. I'm sorry. I'll probably get killed for saying that.
You will.
My mother taught me, don't go to a hotel with a stranger. If someone answers the door in a bathrobe and it's supposed to be a business meeting, maybe I should go with somebody else.
You're talking about Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. I think that some things are just common sense.
Okay. Hey, don't get on a boat with your husband either, because he's going to do something with the boat horn. You're not going to believe
He'll sink the boat.
Yeah.
Number two.
Okay. How about this? The Beatles have just released the reissue of the White Album. It's 8 discs, 7 super discs, and like an additional like cover like art disc. How about that? All versions include a new stereo mix of the album overseen by Giles Martin, the son of the original producer. It reveals which song from the White Album was most challenging to remix.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I'd mixed it before for Living the Material World, which is a Martin Scorsese film I worked on. And so I knew how challenging it would be. And I said to Sam O'Kell, who's a great engineer, I said, this is going to be tricky. And he didn't believe me, and we got to it. And it's because George has this ethereal quality to what he does, this beauty to what he does. And if you make things sound more gritty, which is kind of what we do with the White Album, you can lose that. You lose the feel. It sounds a bit lumpy and leaden.
We don't want lumpy and leaden. I can't figure out how to dance to this. All right, and finally,
number one,
Jimmy Fallon. What about The Grinch?
Hey guys, I saw that The Grinch is in theaters this weekend. I'm excited about The Grinch. And get this, they just added an emotional new scene where Jeff Sessions reunites with his family in Whoville. Oh. Yeah, it's really good.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great. Makes women appear more attractive and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Now you got a lot of about 8, 12, 15 black politicians jumping the race now. They ain't got no business in there. They ain't got no money. They ain't got no money, all right? Prep Winkle talking about now, she ain't gonna raise taxes when she was just trying to raise sugar tax on everybody. And don't tell me how much sugar I gotta eat.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's our guy, Willie Wilson. Next mayor of the city of Chicago. And I like it. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, this is that. And that, can I just tell you, was the most sane statement by any politician this week anywhere in America. That's why we need the Knarble wagon more than ever right now, just to get through. Drawl Southern Cookhouse and Whiskey Room is with us right now, and they're right there at Fullerton and Clark, just north of Clark, north of Fullerton on Clark. And you are here at the exact right time. Exact right time. Alex Brick is our bartender.
Hey there.
And Alette Valencia is the is a partner.
Hello.
There. Hello. All right, let's just start drinking and just explain exactly what's going on here. First of all, Drawl is, so it's Southern, it's the whiskeys now, that's the hot thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So, now, are you more of a Kentucky or a bourbon, or are you more of a Tennessee?
We're definitely more Kentucky, bourbon-focused.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Those are my people right there. That's right. It's something about the iron in the soil. That's what they say. I don't know. It changes the entire world.
Limestone.
Yes, the limestone.
Limestone
right.
In the water.
That's what I meant, the limestone. Whatever. It's all of it. It's the iron. It's the limestone. And you know what's really funny? It was interesting. This week, Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, was talking about the fact that the Canadians can't get the bourbon, and I'm like, how about that? They were all like beside themselves about that, and you know, the Canadians, they're very proud of their whiskey, but it's the Kentucky whiskey that really changes the world.
Well, bourbon's been blowing up in the last couple of years, and right now a lot of the most popular bourbons are out on allocation, so it's actually
hard.
What does that mean, allocation? That means that you, as a bar, have to, you gotta wait in line, basically. You can't just walk down to Binny's and grab all the bottles you need. You actually have to...
You go through a distributor, right?
Yeah, exactly. You go through a distributor, but a lot of the most famous bourbons can take a very long time to get your hands on.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What is because they're small batches generally for the really really good ones, right?
Well, and some of these things may have to spend anywhere between 15 and 30 years inside a barrel down in the hills of Kentucky.
I know, so. I have. I can say that for sure. Okay, so you have three cocktails here. We're going to get to those in a second. But if somebody just wants to come in and do a bourbon neat, what would you suggest?
Ooh, my personal favorite has got to be Blanton's bourbon. Absolutely love this stuff.
Cool bottle,
Buffalo
too.
Trace Distillery down in Kentucky. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking about that for
Rose
a second.
Rose daydreaming
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, I'm daydreaming about that.
Get lost. Yeah.
So how many do you guys offer? Is your list long?
We have a pretty extensive list. It's continuing and growing. We have probably about 80 to start. We have
80.
A little whiskey room that has, I would say, 50 bourbons and rye.
Something around there. The collection is growing every day, and mm-hmm. we're getting more and more from our various distributors and reps, who are all amazing.
I like the rye too, though. I mean,
makes a great cocktail.
You know, it's a great mixer, but mm-hmm. it also, I find that the ryes are like Bullet is doing a rye mm-hmm. now, right? Mm-hmm. Bullet started with the bourbon.
Oh yeah, they've been for years.
And in terms of marketing, they've started to market the rye almost as much as they are the bourbon. I think it's because it's harder to get the bourbon than ever. But the rye is really, really, really. It's a little lighter. Right?
Sure.
And it's got a little bit more of a, you know, because a bourbon, you got to just be ready. You just got to be. You got to be in the mood. You got to be prepared. You got to want complexity. You got to want that. You know, all of the things that's going to happen. And a rye is just, you know, it's more casual. Is that a better way? Is that a good way to put it?
Well, and really, what I always tell people at the bar top is that it's about what grain you want to be tasting. Right? Bourbon's got that lovely corn flavor in there, which makes it a little sweeter and more mm-hmm. mellow. But rye gives it that lovely sort of spice and nose on it. And then I think people are starting to actually turn a lot to rye for all the reasons you just mentioned, and just because of that spice element.
Yeah, I'd like to keep talking to you about this, but let's start drinking. This is, now, there are three cocktails that you're specializing in here for mm-hmm. us today. And this first one is, explain what I'm doing here.
That is called the Apple Blossom. You're drinking that out of a lovely little tumbler right now. That is actually a vermouth-based cocktail, so it's going to be, we're starting you with the lowest ABV of the group, you know, just kind of tiptoeing into things. So
Ro looks so happy right now.
Vermouth-based cocktail, a little bit of absinthe in there, and some apple.
Oh, absinthe. Oh, so I can. Oh, that's good.
That's what you're smelling.
That's what I was just wondering about. I was like, why am I hallucinating? I couldn't figure out what's going on there. Is this, this is not, this is, what version of absinthe is this?
This is actually an absinthe rouge specific in there, and I believe we're using the Sisay brand.
This is not the one that's got the thing that'll make me see
the
triple.
Green fairy.
No, I don't think you're going to be seeing anything.
Yeah, see the green fairy. I know. I mean, you know, and I thought that was just, you know, sort of a marketing thing or a rumor. until it happened. So this is, you know, you got to be very careful. That's the one, you have to get that in France or wherever they do that. In the United States, I think they kept us from having that. Although they still, I've still found it here.
Oh, we're getting more and more access to the good stuff every day.
So. Oh, God. You see, this is what's, as soon as pot became, you know, legal, the liquor companies had to figure out a way to compete.
Right.
And I see what's going to happen. All right. Now you've got one here that's got a flower in it. That's, I don't know, correct, how I feel about that as a man.
Well, alcohol has no gender, so I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem.
That should be. Oh my, that is good.
Isn't that lovely?
That's
called a Sarasota. That is a very simple sour recipe. That is just mezcal, lemon, and a little bit of Jamaica, which is a sweetened hibiscus tea. Actually,
wow, mezcal is so popular now as well. But how do you get started in mezcal? Because the first margarita I had with it, I was like, I don't know what this is.
Oh, you're going to love this. This is unbelievable.
It's smooth?
Because it's super smooth, but it also has, it's got that smokiness that mezcal gives you. Because mezcal, like, straight up, I know it's like Chicago's tequila, right? I mean, this is like our whole thing now as we become a mezcal market.
Mezcal these days, yeah.
But, it's a similar kind of profile as tequila, but it's got a much smokier thing. And if you drink that straight, it's a very different experience.
Absolutely.
The greatest thing with this cocktail is you get that smoke, but then a lot of balance with the Jamaica and the lime, or the citrus, kind of brightens up the drink.
Yeah, yeah. So, let me just cut through it for you. You got to have this with the mezcal. That's all I'm going to say. This makes it really work. And I think that this, before this is all said and done, Violetta's going to be doing something very outrageously embarrassing before 7 o'clock tonight. All right, and then finally, this is a kind of a holiday thing. There looks like there's nutmeg in this drink.
That is cinnamon on top, but close enough for jazz. That is the BPSL, as we've been lovingly calling it, which stands for Bourbon Pumpkin Spice Latte. No, there is no coffee.
Oh, God.
PSL.
Right as I took a sip.
I had to wait till the glass was on its way to your mouth. Otherwise, there was no other way to trick you into it.
Okay.
Anna would have been chugging this right now.
Oh, my gosh.
She's all about the PSL.
All right. Okay. Now, let me just say, it actually tastes just like a pumpkin spice latte. It does. And only because Anna tricked me into drinking one. And the thing is, I hate to admit this. And please don't ever repeat this. Don't ever. We're not going to tell anybody what we said here today.
It stays in this room.
Once you start drinking the pumpkin spice latte, it's like potato chips. You can't stop. Just like it, you start like, oh, well, this is kind of good. And then you feel so bad about yourself afterwards. I don't know if it's the alcohol or the pumpkin spice, whatever it is. It's lovely. It's for Thanksgiving and the holidays, I suppose. Keep it going all the way through the holidays, dude.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. This one's going to be around for a while.
Like February, do you do it then, too?
We'll
see what Starbucks does.
All right.
But this has a really interesting technique that Alex can speak on how he does the infusion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, this actually uses some of that rye whiskey you were talking about earlier.
All right, I'm interested.
Yeah, there you go.
Which one is this?
We're actually infusing, this is Rittenhouse rye.
Rittenhouse, amazing.
Oh, it's great stuff. And it's overproof, too, so it's nice and boozy, so that'll catch up with you.
Just like this show.
Oh, yeah, but we're using a classic infusion technique to actually put all the pumpkin pie spice right into the bourbon rather than mixing it in the cocktail, trying to shake it in like that.
So it's already pumpkin-infused bourbon that you're putting in.
So you're
taking the bourbon, you're pouring it out of the bottles into another container, you're throwing the pumpkin in there.
Pretty much, yeah. And you're using a couple of different, you know, little micro-mixology techniques, a lot of things that are showing up at a lot of bars these days, so a lot of cocktail bartenders are
What are you doing? What else are you doing?
Well, this one in particular is called ISI infusion. We're using whipped cream canisters, basically, ISI canisters to pressure infuse all of that pumpkin spice inside the rye whiskey.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Great. Classic.
That's a true mixologist. Oh, yeah. See, there's something
nicely.
To
brings
it.
Brings out all the lovely bacon spice notes. A little bit of that pumpkin flavor. So it's perfect.
It's really very. I mean, it is. It's true. It's a piece of art right there. But it's pumpkin spice, and I will sue you for doing this to me. All right.
I will wait to hear from your people.
Yes, we have our lawyers. All right, we're gonna see what the kids are doing. And now you're also doing, obviously Southern food too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Chef Justin Stadler is our executive chef, kind of taking the wheel on the menu. It's modern American cuisine with a Southern accent, we like to say. So you'll find a lot of Southern ingredients within our menu, but a lot of approachable, kind of nostalgic menu items.
It's
so sweet.
Yeah, is it a dinner spot or is it like more of a bar?
Definitely a dinner spot with a bar.
Okay.
We have a whiskey room, a secluded whiskey room kind of tucked away in the back. So, you know, we love to encourage people to have dinner and then come in and have a nightcap or two of some delicious bourbon.
Clark Street, just north of Fullerton, Drawl Southern Cookhouse and Whiskey Room is. And that is, that used to be a very hot restaurant spot for years. And then everything else got, you know, got hot everywhere else. And it sort of fell on hard times. And now it is back. Now that there's like a 3-block run there from Fullerton all the way up past Wrightwood, which is almost to Diversey, that is some of the best restaurants in Chicago. Little ma and pa places, too. Because the corporates have all gone somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And now it's back to being what it originally was.
And that's us to a T. Justin and myself run it. Just him and I with this wonderful bar team. And we're independent and...
Yeah, see, I like that. Now, see, that's what we got to go represent. You got to go, and these guys are, you know, they're spending real money to get all that whiskey in that room for you. Might as well buy it and drink it, and they've got a great selection. I draw Southern Cookhouse and Whiskey Room. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's check in with Aunt Judy and find out what's coming up at the top of the hour news.
Well, it looks like a mass shooter in California paused to post during the massacre.
The Steve Fapkin Show has free Blackhawks tickets for you on Monday at 7:50 a.m. Tune in.
Yeah.
Honey. I'm getting thirsty over here.
Yeah. I just woke up right now.
I got you smelled the alcohol.
As soon as the whiskey showed up, I was like, ooh.
That would be creepy DJ.
Just die? What happened?
I don't know.
Get him a cigarette.
He does not look good. Yeah, get him a cool. Get him a cool before they're illegal to get.
About the menthol news and he's stressing.
He's gonna have to go back to double reds a day.
Yeah, I know. Pall Mall reds. But he likes it. The nice thing about Creepy DJ is that his dental work is not the best, but you can see the little pieces of tobacco fleck in between his teeth in the front too.
Oh.
That's the only thing that actually, so you can see between the yellow and the brown in there, that's how that whole thing works.
Too much detail.
Yeah, that is a maybe. All right, we got Live Music Friday. Rosie and the Rivets are here.
Whoa.
One of our favorite bands of all times. Could not be more fun. They have played our Halloween show. They've played, to see them live, after they played our Halloween show, they got booked on average every other night of the week in Chicago. Got 164 shows. It's just close enough for, you know, horseshoes and hand grenades. 164 shows last year. In
that
the
was
last
a good
year.
Show.
Yeah.
They had a big stage. They were really killing it.
Yeah, killing it. Watch out.
Crushing it.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's how they roll. All right. Aunt Judy is standing by in the WGN newsroom. She's going to give you the news coming your way in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine newsroom on WGN Radio. Recorded version of Ain't Nothing Shaking. Hold on. Here she goes. There's nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. Oh, wow. From Rosie and the Rivets. And they're here. And that, Rosie, is something to behold. That's all I'm going to say to you right there. They're going to be playing live for us coming up in just a few minutes. But first, I want to do this. I want to introduce you to the luckiest man in Chicago. He's a Chicago police officer. He's a probationary police officer, I think is the way that we're supposed to say that, because he's just finished his training and he's been on the street now for a year and for like the first 18 months. They're basically probationary officers. And last night at the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation gala, in which we were able to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, which not only takes care of the memorial down on just east of Soldier Field, but also buys vests for police officers so they don't have to pay for it out of their own pocket, which they're required to do, which it sounds insane, but is true. And also takes care of families who have lost their fathers, their moms, We take care of educational expenses. We take care of a lot of things for Chicago police officers, the men and women of the Chicago Police Department, 13,080 men and women in uniform for the city of Chicago. And last night, we gave away, we've been raffling off this Dodge Ram pickup truck. Baddest ass truck you have ever seen. And Mihai Pop from the 18th District won it. And Mihai, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And there's a couple things that we want to say here. First of all, you're you've been on the job, what, now, like 14 months, something like that?
Almost 18. In 16, I'll be shaking off my probationary period and moving onward.
Oh, this is a big moment for you. Now, we know you are of Romanian descent, and that is correct.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's correct.
Were you born in Romania?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. And now you've come here, like so many great stories of Chicago police officers. You know, there's so many languages spoken. I think there's something like 60 languages spoken on the Chicago Police Department by the different folks there. And
definitely.
And this is, and it turns out, what are the chances that you would win this the day that we would put you on the radio and there's another Romanian speaker? There are not a lot of Romanian speakers in Chicago. They're not.
Bună seara, cum ești?
Bună seara, bine, mulțumesc.
Eu nu sunt româncă, sunt din Serbia, dar ei nu crede că știu românește. S-o spune că știu.
She knows Romanian very well.
Yeah. Notice how, well, we kind of figured this out. Now, since you are in law enforcement and, you know, you're going to have an amazing career because you're a very lucky guy. We'll get to a little bit of that, what happened there. But we'd like a full investigation into her background. If you could do anything about this and figure it out, we kind of think that she was sent here by a foreign government. But that's a separate issue, Mihai. This has nothing to do with your incredible luck. What are you going to do with this? Now, here's the things I learned about you last night. You're out of the 18th district, right?
That's correct.
Okay, which is downtown, near North Side, they call that, near North District. And that is where Paul Bauer, who we honored last night, and his family, he was the commander there before he lost his life on the 13th of February of this year. And this, so having somebody out of his own district win this is really an incredible thing. And I'm told that you were telling your fellow officers at 18 that you were going to win this the whole time.
Yeah, I definitely had a positive attitude about it. And we were joking with my colleagues, and I was telling them, it's no point for you guys to buy any ticket because I already purchased the winning ticket. And everybody, even my wife, was kind of giving me a hard time because I'm so positive all the time. And first, she didn't really want to let me buy the ticket, but I gave her some reassurance. I told her, don't worry, it's only $100. It goes to a good cause. Plus, we're not going to lose it because I'm going to win.
How about that? I say that every time I buy lottery tickets, and it never happens for me. And look at you. Look at you. And when are you picking up?
I never give up. I never give up on that. So,
see, now that's what we need on the streets of Chicago. When are you going to pick up the truck? When are we going to deliver it to you?
Well, it's going to be somewhere next week. We still got to establish the details.
Yes.
But with this occasion, I would like to thank you, the 18th District, and everybody in CPD for... I come from a small family. I don't have no brothers or sisters, but with CPD, I gained the most brothers and sisters that anybody can wish. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
And it's amazing. There are some amazing people over there, and I'm really lucky and blessed to be able to work with them and for them.
And yeah. What made you want to go into the force? I mean, you know, being from somewhere else, like, did you have, what was your inspiration in getting involved?
Well, I always had the nature of trying to help whoever I could to do better and to be better, so... Joining the force was the best decision I could ever take.
And you have a young daughter, just an infant, right, at home?
Yes, I have a 22-month-old young little guy.
Oh, boy.
Very spirited.
Yes,
he's a true.
Yeah, you know what? Let me just explain something to you. That terrible twos, that starts at about 18 months, like your probation. And it's, oh, my gosh. And it could go until like they're 30 or 40 years old. So just prepare yourself for that, Mihai. That's all I'm going
to
tell you.
I am prepared. I am very blessed to have such a beautiful family. And I don't know who did I did so much good, but only I've been blessed since last year's for a couple of years. Only good things were happening, and hopefully I keep doing the good stuff. So a lot of good stuff will happen to everybody else.
And have you ever been to Little Bucharest Bistro?
To be honest, I think I've been there a few years ago.
Yeah, did you make an arrest while you were there? Because that's the other question that we would like to know the answer to.
I wasn't working as a as a police officer.
Yeah, you know, now that you're a police officer, avoid the place. That's all I'm going to say right now, because you just never know. That's Violetta's family that owns Little Bucharest, which is why she's so full.
Get the cabbage rolls.
Yeah, they have Romanian cuisine if you ever miss home.
Awesome. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm a decent cook, so
look at that.
Pretty much all the Romanian dishes, me and my wife, we can...
You got it worked out? Hey, dude, he just dropped the microphone on you right there, Violetta, right there.
Better
all
than
right.
I am.
Mihai, Chicago Police Patrolman Mihai Pop, thank you very much. Appreciate you being here, and appreciate you donating that money, buying that ticket, and you see it does pay off. And I think we're going to do that again next year, and there'll be one lucky police officer or somebody else who wants to get it. It's the best part is you get to keep the decals on it as a police officer. If a civilian won it, we'd have to take the stars off of it for the this amazing Dodge Ram truck that we've got that's like all decked out with all the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation stuff on it. It's really cool. And you'll trust me, when you drive down the street in that, people are going to pay attention. That's all I could say about it.
Indeed. Thank you so much.
Mihai, thank you very much. Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, stay safe out there. Mihai Pop, Chicago Police Department patrolman.
What a great story, and to have won it.
I know.
That's a great prize.
Well, he was telling, we were last night at the event. He was not at the event last night. But last night at the event, we were told by guys who were also in the 18th District with him that he was telling everybody he was going to win this thing. So then, of course, we launched a full investigation. And after 5 minutes, we found that that nothing had gone wrong. Actually, you know what was a really amazing moment last night? If I could just get serious for a second. We took there were hundreds, I mean, maybe over 1,000 of the tickets for this. And Grace Bauer, the daughter of Commander Paul Bauer, was the one who pulled the ticket. She wanted to do it. She wanted to come up on stage and do it. And it was, this girl is, 13 years old now.
And she's been through so much.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just imagine what these last 10 months have been like.
But she probably wanted to do that because she has felt like family with all of these people who have supported her and her family, the city.
Yeah, it was amazing. And she did it. And then they handed me the ticket. And I'm like, what is this name on here? I don't understand the name. I thought I was getting punked for a second, and then I find out that he's Romanian, and I'm like, oh, this makes complete sense, and somehow Violetta's behind this.
Or to blame.
Yeah, there we go. So congratulations to him, and again, thank you for your service, and thank you for your donation to the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. All right, let's check in with Judy right now, find out what's going on at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
The bromance may be over.
We are getting ready for Rosie and the Rivets. We've got them in Studio G, our performance studio. And now, Rosie,
sir.
We, we're gigantic fans. You've played live with us. You have been, you're damn near our house band.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you beyond amazing. And since you were with us last Halloween... is this right? You played 164 gigs since then?
Yeah, this year alone. So
this year alone?
Yeah.
That's like every other day.
Yeah. Well, Ro, you were like our Ed Sullivan. You introduced, you created Rosie Mania after after we had after we were on your show.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. People started showing up saying, you were on Rocancho.
It's true.
We know you.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
We'll
about
be writing
that?
A check later.
Were they asking you for the money that I owe them? I mean, which one was that? I don't know. I don't know how that goes. All right. Well, what do you want to do for us?
We're going to do a song co-written by the great Sonny Bono, a song called Needles and Pins.
Take it away, Rosie and the Rivets.
Saw him today. I saw his face. It was a face I loved.
RosieandTheRivets.com. More music on Live Music Friday coming up right after Judy's News at the bottom of the hour. That's Rosie and the Rivets, and they are live in studio with us right now. That's a recorded piece of music right there, and we like to do that because it gives them a chance to breathe right before we make them do all of their work. And Rosie and the Rivets, you got Christine Mikulskis, who is Mikulskis, actually. Did I have that right? I never get this right.
Yeah, my mother still gets that wrong.
It's, yeah, it's good. Mikulskis. Yeah, there's a lot of SKS sort of things going on that you got to figure out. And Frank Canino, really the heart and soul of Rosie and the Rivets right there, because between the two of them, it's like you're flying back in time, somewhere between 1956 and 19 like now, but which is not in the 19s anymore. But I think you know what I mean. And then you got Mark on bass. You got Mark Edelstein is your new bassist, right?
Correct.
Jim Barkley on drums and vocals. Kevin Gawthorpe on sax. And Diana Smoot is the mother of the band. I don't know what that means.
Mother hen.
Mother hen,
yeah.
Kind of you're just making sure everybody is behaving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reuben Kincaid, basically.
Helps everybody. Actually helps Christine with the fishnet stockings, which is really, it's very hard because you get that caught in like a toe, the whole thing comes apart.
I don't know.
What goes on there? I just had to dress once for Halloween that way. That's how I know that. All right. You have something coming up that you'd like us to go to?
Yes. We are at the Drake. We have a kind of a standing show there. And we're there tomorrow, correct?
9 p.m., yes.
Yep, 9 p.m.
All ages.
All ages. Well, you do that once a month? How often do you do that?
Every other Saturday, or occasionally a Friday. Always check the schedule, rosieandtherivets.com. All the information is there, Facebook.
And then you also have the Jingle Bell Rocks retro rockin' Christmas show at Hard Rock Cafe as well.
Correct.
Yes, that's November 30th, December 14th, and I think December 21st.
That is correct. That is right. You got all of that right
there.
We are very excited
about that. We recorded a Christmas song today over in Crete at the Custom Recording Company. A couple of great brothers there, Aaron and Carl. A lot of
bells ringing here. And so you got that all done, and you're going to be – and where can people find that? On the website?
Yes, that I believe the 19th. We hope to have that out, and we may even put it on a record, on a 45.
Oh, a 45!
Yeah,
how suiting!
I know, right? And yes, but I don't need that. But I don't know what I do with the 45. I just stare at it now.
I can't, right?
I can't find a turntable. Even in this radio station, they just literally put a turntable back in this radio station.
Oh, wow.
For the first time, and they had to have one in here, because you never know. Things are on vinyl.
Yeah, but the hipsters have them now. It's retro.
They do.
I know, but the hipsters have them, but they don't really use them. That is something I have found to be true.
It's a piece of furniture. You're right.
Yeah. They spend all this money on it. Look at this. This is a Techniques. It's a model 1988, and we like it very much.
And then someone goes, well, play something.
It does have the variable speed. The original disc jockeys use these. And they're all like so pretentious. And then you go, yeah, play something. I don't have a stylus for it. All right. What do you want to do for us now?
We're going to do a song by Bobby Lewis, and also a little fact about this song. It happens to be our bass player's favorite song in the show for some unknown reason.
Amen.
So, Mark, this goes to you.
Thank you.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. Kept on thinking about you. Baby, things were right. Covers on the floor, turn my pillow upside down. Ooh, I thought of you some more. 'Cause I was tossing and turning and tossing and turning all the night. Jumped out of bed, turned on the light. I pulled up the shade, went to the kitchen for a bite. Pull down the shade, turn off the light. I jumped back into bed, it was the middle of the night. Clock downstairs was striking four. Could it catch you off my mind? Heard the milkman at the door. 'Cause I was tossing and turning, turning and tossing, tossing and turning all the night. Jumped out of bed, turned on the light. I pulled up the shade, went to the kitchen for a bite. Put on the shade, turn off the light. I jumped back in new bed, it was the middle of the night. The clock downstairs was striking four. Kind of get you off my mind.
You know, I never, until just this moment, I didn't realize that milkman at the door was a threat in that song. It just hit me for the first time. That's what that's about. Oh, I get it. If I don't show up, then the milkman. All right, I understand. All right, we're going to be back with Rosie and the Rivets. Don't do anything. RosieandTheRivets.com. You can find all of their dates. You can find music there. They are amazing. It's the sexiest band in Chicago. I just want to say that without fear of any kind of contradiction. But before we get to that, let's talk to Violetta, the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Do you have a Chicago accent? Tune into the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning to play Chicago Accent Challenge, and you can win a gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Bears.
What the?
Sassy.
Oh, wait, you're not supposed to say that. All right. Well, Rosie, and this is a Chicago band, Rosie and the Rivets, right? Aren't you guys all from Chicago?
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Our drummer, where are you from?
We can be.
Who's this?
The drummer's from Dayton. You know, the drummer's always different than everybody else in the band.
Tell me about it.
Right? They're always that's the one. That's why that joke from Spinal Tap where the drummer always blows up is the funniest joke in the history of rock and roll, because it is really true. The drummer's always the problem. That's how that goes. All right. So Rosie and the Rivets, rosieandtherivets.com. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
For Live Music Friday. They're kind of our house band, really, honest to God. They've been with us, you know, out on the road. They've been with us in, you know, all kinds of desperate situations and saved us every single time. They're like superheroes, but they're musicians all at the same time. What do you want to play for us?
We're going to play Rip It Up.
Take it away.
Saturday night, I just got paid. Fooled about my money, don't try to save. My heart says go, go, have a time. Cause Saturday night, baby, I'm feeling fine. Gonna rock it up, gonna rip it up, gonna shake it up, gonna ball it up, gonna rock it up, hey. Have a ball tonight. Got me a date, I won't be late. I picked her up in my 88. On down by the Union Hall. When the joint starts jumping, I'll have a ball. I'm gonna rock it up, gonna rip it up, gonna shake it up, gonna ball it, gonna rock it up. We'll have a ball tonight. Says go, go, have a time. Cause Saturday night, baby, I'm feeling fine. Gonna rock it up, gonna rip it up, gonna shake it up, gonna ball up, gonna rock it up. Have a ball tonight. Got me a date, I won't be late. I picked her up in my 88. Shag on down by the Union Hall. When the joint starts jumping, I'll have a ball.
Rosie and the Rivets. Okay, my favorite song that Rosie and the Rivets does is Bang Bang. Can we get that in? Can we get that in before we have to go and lose the end of the show here?
I love that one. That's a bang, bang. Little rockabilly number by Janis Martin.
Take it away.
One, two, one, two. Bang, 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 bang.
TheDraveHits.com or on Facebook. Check them out at the Drake Hotel every other Saturday night, sometimes on a Friday night. They can't figure it out. And Jingle Bell Rock's Retro Rock and Christmas Show at the Hard Rock Cafe. That's going to be November 30th and December 14th and December 21st. They got a new single coming out as well. So check them all out at RosieAndTheRivets.com. Coming up, we have got the Stories That Matter with Andrea Darlis in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.